Please join me in the reading of God's Word as we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Reading the last part of that chapter beginning at verse 10. Remember, these are words of God. Though the Apostle Paul wrote them, it is the Word of God through the Apostle Paul. If you received a letter from the President, it was signed by him, though it was written by a secretary, you would still consider it a letter from the President. He dictated it to the secretary. It would be his mind and his thoughts to you. These are God's thoughts, and this is God's mind, both to the church at Corinth and to us today. Listen as we read these words from God through the pen of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord, if any man, if any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think he behaveth himself uncommonly toward his virgin, and she passed the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth fast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also I have the Spirit of God. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for all of thy instruction. We give thanks for thy word, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Father, we give thanks, first of all, for the instruction in righteousness, that we can be made righteous with thee, that we can have that way of salvation, that we can be reconciled through Christ, that we can be made thy children and be given thy Holy Spirit, be delivered from the spirit of disobedience that worketh in the children of disobedience and are left as children of wrath, in which we also were, even all of us. We give thanks, Father, for that blessing, first of all, and that relationship with thee. We also give thanks for the relationship that thou hast given us with one another, giving that blessing of marriage, the blessing of home, and giving us instruction in it, giving us not only the command to love thee, which we only begin to fulfill after we have reconciliation with thee, but also the command to love our neighbors ourselves, and especially, Father, within our families, husbands and wives, as thou hast described it, being made one flesh. We pray, Father, that we might see both the gift that thou hast given and also the responsibility that we have, the commands that thou hast given to both husbands and wives, the commands not to leave each other, not to put each other away, a solemn command and a great blessing. And again, we give thanks for thy word, which gives us a clear instruction, that which is a roadmap to happiness and a roadmap to heaven. And Father, also a warning against hell and the terrible darkness of listening to Satan's lies. We pray, Father, that thou wilt teach both the church and teach us in our homes. We ask it all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, we have gone through this rather slowly, and we need to literally stop. We need some of you to come back. We need others of you to go along. And sadly, not only in homes, not only husbands and wives, but preachers and churches need to stop in the wrong direction they're going. I read a note that a little child wrote, and wrote the name of a person that he wants a divorce, and then wrote on the same note that his pastor did too. What a terrible thing to describe a man that wants divorce, when God has so plainly stated, and let not the husband put away his wife. And when God gives pastors his word, we mentioned in the beginning of this broadcast how that this is a letter from God. What if a secretary would change things? What if secretaries would reverse what a president or a leader of a company would write and change it altogether? That's what some people do with the Word of God. Peter calls it wresting the Scriptures to our own destruction. I think it could also be rightly said that the Scriptures are wrested to the destruction of homes. If any pastor encourages divorce, he is encouraging the destruction of a home. It is true that some homes may not be able to be rescued as continuing together, and then there may be a time that they can be and maybe have to be apart. As the Lord Jesus himself said, when they asked why did Moses give a precept that they could put each other, a husband could put away a wife, he said, for the hardness of your heart. But how much better to deal with it with a soft heart. How much better to deal with it with a loving heart. How much better, especially if we are God's children, to do what Paul said here, and as we read in verse 16, for both husbands and wives, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now we know that we cannot save each other, but we also know that we can be a means in God's hand through which others can be saved, that we can bring the word, that we can pray. Pastors are sometimes called fathers. As Paul said, you have many instructors, yet not many fathers. Through the gospel he had begotten these people at Corinth. What a wonderful thing if a husband would have such a burden for his wife, like Paul did for the Galatians, and said that he had sorrow and he had doubts until Christ would be formed in them again. He wanted them to literally be begotten the second time. Not that they can, they only have to be begotten once, and it's only those who are truly God's children that can be brought back. But this is what he said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. They had lost that blessing of living by faith in Christ, or living by the faith of Christ. They had gone to the way of trusting in their own works. And now Paul says he stands in doubt of them. He says, I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. If Paul travailed in birth until Christ be formed in them, to those Galatians, a people that he had visited, but a people that were Gentiles, not his brethren in the flesh, like he prayed also for his kinsmen, his brethren in the flesh, of which he had continual sorrow, but he longed to see them united again with Christ, and either to be united again if they have strayed, or if a husband or wife is not saved, how we should long to see them saved. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Two great blessings would come in that. One is for time. The husband would have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He would have this by faith. He would have heavenly places in Christ, but for all of eternity. And not only the blessing of going to heaven and having heaven promised, but the blessing also of escaping hell. Just think of that. If a wife knows her husband is wrong with God, he will end in hell. Eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from her. And the same thing in the opposite way. Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? We have in this chapter some very clear instruction. Some wonderful instruction. And as I think again of Paul's words to Timothy, that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The 16th verse is certainly an instruction in righteousness, telling us how to act righteously, telling us how we can be a means in God's hand to give others righteousness in Christ. And that's all included when it's stated, thou shalt save. Thou shalt save. Husbands and wives will either be saved or lost. But it's also given here for reproof, for correction. Reproof. We go back to what we considered last week, and I just want to read that, but not go into it again. Verse 10, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11, the last part of it, and let not the husband put away his wife. Also the clear instruction that if she disobeys this command, there is yet another command that she is to heed. If she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. We will come back to that in a few moments in some of the other things that God here says and that are often wrested, misused. First, let's look at verse 12 and 13. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. There might even be some that would use it as an excuse and say, my wife or my husband is not a child of God. And Paul writes, come out from among them, be a separate. Some might use that. I believe I have heard that already. Some want to use it and use it too quickly. But here God shows us patience. He shows us understanding. He shows us His way, the same way He has dealt with us in mercy and long-sufferingness. He has done that to each and every one of us, even though I cannot see you, I may not know you. I know it's true, because God's mercies are new every morning. Mercies to you, mercies to me. And we should also have that to others. And that's what Paul is saying. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And verse 13, the opposite, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Very plain command, and given both ways, to the wife, to the husband. Then it shows the blessing that can be there. In verse 14, even though it's not the greatest blessing, it is a blessing. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, as were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Sanctification there can mean different things, and we do not know exactly what Paul is meaning. Sanctification throughout Scripture is used as separation. Evidently, that is not the case here, unless we want to think of it as because of either husband or wife, that it is a help for the mate, for the opposite one, to be separated from the world, to be influenced away from the world. And certainly that can be one way in which it can be used. Sometimes sanctification is used as one is being prepared for God. In some ways, we could probably think of it here, that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, that they are being influenced to seek the Lord. They are influenced to become children of God. And they are sanctified or influenced in that way. And probably influenced would be the easiest way to understand that, and I don't think that that would be taking away from what Paul is here stating when he said that either one is sanctified by the other. Along with it, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Those who believe in baptizing children would like to use this scripture, and often do, and say, look, now they are holy. What do we mean by that? What does Paul mean by that? What is God telling us? Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. It is true that there is an outward influence again. There is an outward blessing, especially if they live together and can dwell together and they be pleased to dwell, either the husband with a wife or the wife with a husband, that then they will very likely be under the influence of God's word. We can also think of it in ways that where there is not marriage and there are children born out of wedlock, sometimes they are called bastards. They are illegitimate children. But here, they are holy, or probably legally legitimate. If we would take this as holy, in the sense that they are truly holy and right with God, then we would ask also the question, well, why not the husband holy, if the wife is a child of God? Or why not the wife holy, if her husband is a child of God? And I think that we have to understand all three much in the same, that they are sanctified or influenced. Go to God in prayer. Beg God to send reviving. Beg God to send repentance. And beg God to make us live by faith in Christ.